You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.
The treats are abundant here today. My brain is firing at a high rate of speed. I can't stop the thoughts running through my mind. For some reason, I was just thinking about Roy Hibbert from Georgetown and how great it was to be at Madison Square Garden. I don't know, was it 2004, 5, 6, somewhere in there, when Sam Young and DeJuan Blair led Pitt to a Big East title at the Garden. They beat Roy Hibbert. Or was it Aaron Gray? I don't remember. I just remember it was great. It was Pitt Georgetown in the championship game under the lights. You always felt like it was a special occasion at the Garden. I used to go visit Aunt Viv for dinner the night before. Stayed at a Hampton Inn, I think, which obviously in Manhattan, it's not your typical Hampton Inn. For one thing, it's like a high-rise building. For another, the rooms are extremely tiny. But it was great. You know, you wake up, you walk. I don't know, it was like 20 blocks from there to the Garden. Oh my God, do I miss that Limits? Can you imagine? You probably can't. It was Ron's favorite thing too, the Big East tournament.
I wanted to go to the Garden. Well, I mean, I guess I still can go to the Garden for any type of sporting event. Like I want to see like a Knicks game. I want to see Pitt basketball play there again. Just seems like one of those bucket list venues that you have to see.
Did you know I was at Wayne Gretzky's last NHL game?
No.
Unbelievable. The Penguins were there at the Garden. I was there. He passed the proverbial torch to Jaromir Jagr as sort of the face of the league after that game. That one's hard to believe.
Pretty incredible.
I used to save the press passes from these things, and then I lost them all. Maybe. I don't know. They might be somewhere at home. And then the other thing firing through my caffeine-addled brain is how I like it when there's still hatred in sports. Not hatred. You know what I mean. Sports hatred. I was watching the NBA last night. Ja Morant of the Grizzlies was going crazy against the Lakers, smashing into LeBron, mocking people when they tried to cover him. You know how they do that thing where they bend low to the ground and put their hand off the ground like you're too small to cover me? I love that. And then after the game, he said flat out, I don't like them. We need more of that in sports. I don't like them. And he was combative on the court, actively not liking them. He said, they knocked me out of the playoffs. And then last year we had a game and they came in here and popped it on our home floor when I was in street clothes. I wasn't in street clothes tonight. That's what I like, Limits.
Yeah, you know, you need that competitive flair, the back and forth, the jawing, something that we don't see as much as, at least in watching a lot of documentaries, they say that the 80s was just full of it.
Yes, it was Lakers, Celtics. You still get it in the NFL, hockey.
Yeah.
You still have it
more
from
so
time
hockey.
To time. Steelers, Ravens, but everything's too nice. It's nice to be nice to the nice, said Frank Burns.
It was fun when Amir Garrett was throwing punches at the Pirates and running out of the dugout that one day. Remember that? He tried to fight the entire team.
Yes, I love that
and
stuff.
And when, I mean, the Tom Wilson fight, as long as nobody gets hurt between him and the Penguins, I like those.
And the other thing that's happening, my last two favorite teams in all of sports that I actively root for are the Golden State Warriors and the Indiana Fever. Steph Curry, Caitlin Clark. And there was this whole thing in Boston last night about how with the U.S. Olympic team, Jason Tatum didn't get to play enough. So he was out for revenge on Steve Kerr, who was the Olympic coach. To me, you win gold. Every move you made was justified. That's A. B, he had two other guys from the Celtics who played a lot on that team. Jrue Holiday, who's a different player than Jason Tatum.
And Derek White.
And Derek White. What do you want, the Celtics to be the Olympic team, too?
I could argue that Jason Tatum shouldn't even have been on that team, and it should have been Jaylen Brown instead.
Well, here's me, too. There was a sequence last night that I just loved. It was Curry to Buddy Hield for a three-pointer with Jason Tatum just standing there on defense. And if you want to clip that and say this is why he didn't play in the Olympics, go ahead and do it. Please do it. I can't stand Boston sports teams or their fans. I just can't. All right, Limits, back to the Steelers. 50-minute mark we're coming up on, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Jeep Dodge, Route 19, Peters Township. Celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. Let's go to a couple calls. We opened with, who are you rooting for tonight? Who should you be rooting for as a Steeler fan, Bengals or Ravens? Plus, the schedule that we talked about endlessly. What's going to happen post-bye with all the division games still ahead? It's here. We're post-bye. Yes, they open with the Commanders, but do we like the fact that the whole division schedule lies ahead, or would we have preferred to get some out of the way? Wonder Twin made an excellent point, I thought, by saying maybe the Browns once or twice with Deshaun Watson would have been nice early in the season. But I think we both agree that right now, and may, you know, the Bengals stunk in the first week, but would you have wanted to have Justin Fields in divisional games, or are you glad, are you happier that the Steelers sort of used those first eight games to land on a quarterback, and they landed on the superior one, apparently, and they're the very best version of themselves right now, coming out of the bye with these divisional games ahead? I think Limits and I landed on choice B right there. 928-9370. We're going to get into Steelers potpourri in just a moment. My friend Limits has done meticulous preparation for that. But let's go to the phones for a moment.
Here is Paul in Pittsburgh.
Hey, Paul.
I'd like to see the Bengals win. We have the toughest remaining schedule. That being reason that is, I think we split 1-1. We still have the Chiefs. We still have the Eagles. I want to make sure that we're in a position that, we're a game ahead. So if the Bengals obviously win, it puts us in that position. And we got to get back to Steeler football where, we're putting the game on our back. We're not worried about anything else. Let's take care of business and let the cards play. You know what I mean?
So you want the Bengals to win so that the Steelers can potentially increase their divisional lead to two games, right?
Over the
Ravens.
With our remaining schedule, I just don't see us winning every game, to be quite honest.
Yeah.
To be realistic. So
I think
the game is more important than anything.
Yeah.
You don't even know if the Commanders are 7-2, got the, number one.
It's going to be a very tough game. Yes.
So I just, that makes me nervous. So why not try to get a game ahead?
Well, you're right. I think he's right. And thank you for the call. If the Bengals win, the Steelers are still guaranteed to be in first place, even if they lose to Washington. It is an Occam's razor explanation, isn't it, Limits? The simplest answer is the best.
Yes, I'm glad that you taught me that today.
Mulsey taught me that. You think? See how things get passed down at the station? It's the circle of life.
It's a totem pole.
Who's next?
Let's go to Newman in Monongahela.
Newman.
Hey, good morning or afternoon. It's morning still. I go get
Limits. When does morning turn to afternoon officially in your mind?
At noon.
At noon? 11:30 is not afternoon yet?
No, it's afternoon is after noon.
Do you agree with that, sir?
Yes, I do. At 12:01, it's afternoon, so I was wrong.
Okay, go ahead.
I would like the Ravens to win. Push the Bengals down further. That way, I still think that we're going to handle the Ravens. We always do. So I'm not going to say, hey, we're not going to win. That's a defeatist attitude. And then the other thing is, once they push them down, we're not going to end up in the basement. Like all the talking head experts said, the Steelers are going to be fourth in the AFC North. Bull, you know what?
Thank you, sir. Did they say third or fourth, Limits? And by the way, we don't know how the second half of the season's going to play out, so don't speak too soon. I don't think that's going to happen either.
No.
But I would warn against speaking too soon. Not that they'd finish last. That's impossible.
No.
Because the Browns exist. But I think the preseason odds mostly had the Steelers third, did they not?
They did. I mean, there were a couple that had them last because of people, Deshaun Watson will be better this time for Cleveland and their roster is so
good.
Well,
if you finish third, that's not far from last. So there's still nine games left. I just wouldn't speak too soon. I think they're going to finish second with a solid wild card and 10 or 11 wins.
Well, we did our win projections. I actually had them finishing in first, even though if we did like a blind resume and not going game by game, I would project them to finish second. So I contradicted myself, but I do think they finished second to Baltimore, even though they played Baltimore very well. I'm more so worried about that Kansas City-Philadelphia stretch.
Another quick Side note on the NBA that nobody cares about. I sure do enjoy watching J.J. Redick lose. Oh, do I take enjoyment out of that. Limits, let's go with our Steelers potpourri. This is a new segment, and if it hits today, it could be a weekly segment leading us into Hokie. Please, the Steelers potpourri.
I sure hope that's the case. We have some sound from Mike Williams. He talked for the first time yesterday after becoming a Steeler. Same thing with Preston Smith. And Mike Tomlin was asked about both players. Let's start with Mike Williams on being in Pittsburgh. And also, is he taking a shot at Aaron Rodgers?
I mean, Russ, everybody see it. You know, he put the work in, time in, time out, a leader on and off the field. So just very thankful to have a guy like that, you know, quarterback of this team, a leader.
What's your understanding of what your role is going to be and how much playing time you might?
That was absolutely a shot at Aaron Rodgers. He stuck in the second leader very emphatically. May we hear that again?
Yes, you may.
I love that.
Russ, everybody see it. You know, he put the work in, time in, time out, a leader on and off the field. So just very thankful to have a guy like that, you know, quarterback of this team, a leader.
So he didn't need the extra leader.
Does Aaron Rodgers not put the time in on and off the field?
I don't think he probably feels that Rodgers was the ideal leader, especially that time that Rodgers put him on blast to the entire nation for apparently running the wrong route.
And then phased him out of the offense over the last couple of weeks.
Yes.
Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app.
Next.
What your role is going to be and how much playing time you might see?
We ain't really talk about that yet. Right now, you know, I had a pretty good day-to-day, quite a bit. So, you know, keep building the rest of the weekend, see where we at on Sunday.
No role discussed yet for Mike Williams.
I expect a minimal role in this game, but where I expect it is the red zone. And here's the beauty of that, is that Russ, as a veteran and as a really smart, sharp quarterback, is going to be able to recognize before the snap where the mismatch might be. He might have two of them because Pickens and Williams are both mismatches. So is Freiermuth a lot of the time. And you want to divert your resources to George? Go ahead. You want to leave Mike Williams one-on-one for a 50-50 ball? That's where Russ will be going. That's the part of the field where having a guy whose specialties might be a little redundant with Pickens could actually be a big advantage, right? Because you can just pick and choose, no pun intended, which guy has the lesser player on him or which guy has the less coverage on him. You know what I mean?
Right, and he's a big target. I'd also like to see Williams go over the middle of the field because he's a big body receiver, maybe capable of boxing out defenders over the middle on slant routes or whatever it might be. So curious how that might work out. Preston Smith, though, he wanted out of Green Bay. He has two more years left on his contract after this year, which are non-guaranteed. So the Steelers can move on from him, and it's not an issue. Here's what he had to say about becoming the newest Steeler.
I was excited. A few weeks ago, I requested a trade. I didn't feel like I was being useful in the system, and it wasn't catering to my play style. Moving forward, like I wasn't surprised when I got the call. It's like, you know, I got what I asked for, and I'm at a great place with some great teammates, and you know, I'm excited for a new start, and I'm excited for the rest of this journey for this season.
Weirdly enough, with him, even though he's here as a depth edge rusher, I think his ability, his size against the run, might be something that helps the Steelers even more. I thought probably Herbig was exposed a little bit in that area, or at least, you know, that might be unfair, but the absence of Alex Highsmith made us appreciate what he does against the run.
I think it's more so that, yeah.
They couldn't replace that, and Herbig was the guy who tried to replace that. But Preston Smith, I think, against a certain opponent, where you might want to use your depth more against the run, where that might be more valuable than having another rusher, that could play out in the second half of the season here. He's potentially a nice depth piece. I don't want to go hog wild over Preston Smith, but potentially he can help.
I'd like to see them utilize him maybe even on the defensive line next to Cam Hayward in like a Larry Ogunjobi position, because Ogunjobi has been very expensive but not productive enough for that cost.
Yeah, maybe he can. He can play with his hand in the ground.
Here's what Mike Tomlin had to say about both acquisitions.
You know, I think we're going to determine that, and there's some variables in that equation. First and foremost, their ability to learn. You know, we got to be have an above-the-line assignment component to our play, and so that, and then, you know, getting a sense of what they're physically capable of. And so we got a few days to kind of sort through some of those things. This weekend, Sunday, is not the end game. We acquired these guys to be with us for the remainder of this journey. And so that's just my general mindset.
Yeah, and they'll slowly be worked in. Luckily for them, part of their job description is going to be very simple, to where you don't really have to know the scheme. For Williams, that'll be snaps where you say, hey, it could be a 50-50 ball coming to you. Run straight down the field, and if it comes to you, try to catch it. And with Smith, I know I just talked about his run defense, but he is here as a depth edge rusher. Five snaps in the game where you say, the quarterback over there, go after him. You don't need to be scheme knowledgeable to do that. You can just sick him. And you'd rather say whoa than sick him, wouldn't you?
And I don't like that they...
No, you'd rather say... Yeah,
you'd
yeah,
rather
yeah.
say whoa than sick him.
Yeah, right, exactly.
I don't like how much they rotate TJ Watt off the field.
Yeah, that's overrated.
What?
First of all, they don't rotate him, I don't think. I think that he plays the game at such a level that there are times that he just needs to come out of the game. I think that's his decision. Don't you?
Yeah, but it's still concerning to me that he wasn't on that final drive against the Giants on that play. It was what, like the 30-yard line on the Beanie Bishop interception? Him and Alex Highsmith aren't out there?
Yes.
I mean, you had to scheme it or find a way that both either one of those guys are out there. I mean, that cannot happen that neither guy is out there. They got lucky in that situation.
I agree with you there.
That's probably why they got Preston Smith and Herbig's coming back.
Well, having said that, and I'm not saying you, but I think people tend to overstate this TJ Watts out of the game too
much.
You
are saying me.
Okay, then I'm saying you. Here's his percent of snaps in each game. 96, 93, 92, 94, 96, 90, 89. You're wrong. Next.
Mike Florio was asked, all right, I'll address that. I mean, yeah, I mean, it's also timely. Why not take him out in like a couple instances, whether it's the third quarter or it's the second quarter, not the fourth? I mean,
because they're not the ones taking him out. When he feels like he needs a quick breather, he does that.
He's voluntarily taking himself out?
Yes, I think so. Yes. Hmm. I think they rotate their defensive line and things like that, but he's played. Did I mention percentage of snaps? 96, 93, 92, 94, 96, 90, 89. You're wrong. Next.
Mike Florio was asked if the Steelers can win in January, meaning a lot of playoff games.
And I think with Russell Wilson, the way he's been playing, the somewhat uncharacteristic willingness to give up future assets to try to help the team get better now. When you look at where they are, I think they can win the postseason. They can get hot. They can improve. Nine tough games coming up now. The Browns games, who knows? But they're still division rivalries. But you've got the Commanders, the Chiefs, the Eagles in six division games. It's not going to be easy. But I think the Steelers are in that mix. They're in that conversation of a team that by the time we get to January can win in the postseason, can win on the road in the postseason, could beat the Bills in Buffalo, could beat the Ravens in Baltimore, could beat the Chiefs in Kansas City, potentially, if anybody can beat the Chiefs. And that may be the reality. Nobody may have a chance at beating the Chiefs except the Lions in the Super Bowl when it comes down to it. But I still think the Steelers are capable, more capable this year than in other recent years of winning in the postseason.
Chris Hoke has emerged.
He's
very fired
in.
Up. He scared me, as a matter of fact.
He's talking about Jaden Daniels in Washington. He's ready to go. He's humming at 100.
I think that the Steelers potpourri is a smash hit and should be a regular item. Do you?
I agree. What do you think of potpourri? Do you like? Isn't it that like stuff that looks like it's food that everybody puts it in a bowl and you can't eat it?
No.
You know what I'm talking about?
Isn't it a variety of flowers in a little pack? Potpourri? What's potpourri mean, Hokie? Do you know? Why do we say potpourri if the indication is we're about to do a little variety, like a smorgasbord? What's potpourri?
Something to do with a scent, right? A smell, right? Isn't that potpourri kind of makes something smell good?
Yeah, I think that's what it is.
Maybe it's a French word or something.
But why did I call it a Steeler potpourri? I thought it was a variety of things at once. Hold on a second here. Say hi to City Limits, Hokie, and how are you?
Hello, Hokie.
It's called a smorgasbord.
They don't use that word buffet. Anymore either. Yeah, buffet. Do you like to go to buffets? Oh. Perhaps at Haas's places
When I was playing, I love to eat, right? And so to go to a buffet, when I was a kid, my dad used to take us to smorgasbords all the times.
I think we're all right about this. A potpourri is a mixture of dried plant materials that is used to provide a pleasant scent in the room. Yeah. I think we made people happy in a way. We provided a pleasant scent, if you will, with a variety of topics switching back and forth.
That's a stretch, but I'll go with it.
I was always confused by potpourri.
Well, now you're not. Chris Hocus.
I still am.
How are you still am?
I don't understand.
I just gave you the definition.
We have a lot of value to potpourri in this regard, but I don't understand why you have it just for scent in your house. You just put it on your table and there's a bunch of what? Just like leaves and stuff like that?
Yes, but it's a little bouquet of little tiny dried plants that make a nice scent in a room like a bathroom, Hokie. Everybody has potpourri in their house.
I don't think we have any.
I'm going to call your mom after the show and ask her.
Do it.
I will.
We don't.
Give me the number and I guarantee that she will tell me she has potpourri in your house.
Then maybe I just didn't know it was potpourri.
Well, now you do. Hokie, everything well?
Everything's well, brother. Excited to talk Steelers.
I just read a story on your son in the Post-Gazette.
How about that?
Did you like that story?
We don't want to talk about it. No jinxing.
No? No jinxing. Okay.
Well, we still got some games to play.
I understand that. You know, but the kid and the player, he's
a
good kid, good player.
Great, great kid. He's a better kid than he is a football player.
Is he better than you were in high school?
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah, he's good. Well, he, you know.
What position again?
Plays what I played. He plays the three technique and he plays on, you know.
So if you and him were on the same high school team trying out at nose tackle, he would have beaten you out?
Well, I was bigger than him.
Yeah.
But he's more athletic than I was.
Mm. Basketball too?
He did play. He's got great feet. He's very athletic. He's fast.
Great story, too, by Mike White, our friend.
Mike did a great job.
This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC's senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.